Well, as soon as Ms. White gets here, we'll go. Thank you.
I thought you had one, Pablo.
All right, AGP, you ready?
Ready.
All right, we'll call this meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, November 12th, 2014. It is 6:30 p.m. This is the Oceano Community Services District. Can I get a roll call, Marie?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
President Guerrero?
I'm here.
Director White?
Here.
All right, everybody's present except for Miss Lucy, if you'll join me for the flag salute. Item number four, which is the agenda review. We do have staff reports on each item. Does anybody have any changes or anything they'd like to modify on the agenda?
Not from here.
All right. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So move.
I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carries by a vote of 4-0. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and first want to congratulate Jennifer Blackburn for retaining her seat. I'm happy to see that. I think Oceano's happy to see that. I do have some questions about some items I've been reading about in the news. And number one was the action at the South County Sanitation District last week with the districts engaging in litigation against the Water Board. And I was curious, and I have requested from the district the contract with legal counsel. I'd like to know if that's a contingency contract or if we're back on hourly. That particular lawyer, Melissa Thorm, racked up a lot of hours, and the district paid handsomely, and the efforts failed at that time. So I'm a little curious why we went with the same counsel and what that's going to cost, and I'm hopeful that we'll get an explanation later when you give your report. What exactly does the district hope to gain by entering this litigation? And I'm curious, when did the rest of the Oceano CSD board members and staff learn about the appeal being denied at the state level on October 24th? I'm also interested in the hiring of a new fire chief. I don't know very much about the gentleman that's been hired, but I didn't get the impression that he was a fireman, and that concerns me. I'd like to know more about his experience and what the salary is for you to give direction to staff to be pursuing anything in the way of mitigation and how that might help Oceano. I'm also looking for your district's quarterly review. We should be seeing some numbers, some of your budget numbers soon. And the last thing I'll touch on is the action at the sanitation district, action at Arroyo Grande regarding recycled water and the pursuit there. I'm concerned for Oceano in that pursuing a recycled water project isn't necessary for build out in Oceano. And just like you're not participating in the raising the level of the dam, I find that analogous to you do not need to pay for recycled water or even the pursuit of it. You are a partner, but Oceano doesn't benefit from recycled water. You have plenty of water for your build out.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. We'll close public comment at this time. Item number six, we do not have any special presentations. We'll move straight to item 7C, which is a report of OCSD operations field supervisors, Tony Maricino. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, board. How you doing? All right, give you a little update on Lopez Reservoir. It's at 42.8% full, which is 21,139.4 acre feet of water. We have currently used 299.72 acre feet of our allocation from Lopez. We have pumped 212.31 acre feet of groundwater. As you know, we have 303 acre feet from Lopez. One was for a house, had no water. When the operator responded, the house valve was actually shut off. We don't know who did it. They denied where the location of the valve was. So we showed them and instructed, you know, this is your house valve. We can isolate the whole entire house. The other call out was for a broken service line. A vehicle ran over a meter box in the alleyway, destroying the meter box and the service line going to the house, which we repaired it. We have been concreting in these meter boxes in the alleyways. It's just, it's not a huge priority, but we're getting to it slowly but surely. There's quite a few meters in the alleyway. We're still installing meters. We've been focusing on fire hydrant maintenance. We've completed 31 of the fire hydrants in our system. It does take a little bit of time because you got to check everything with the fire hydrant, including the isolation valve. Sometimes you have to vacuum them out also. We also delivered 98 door hangers. And we've been posting for notifications for trash cleanup on people's properties. As you can see the picture in front of you, that was a hydrant that got hit on Friday. The initial call went to the fire department. We found out 15 minutes after the initial call went that Grover Beach Dispatch gave our on-call operator a call. We had to shut down within 15 minutes.
And you were able to get this hydrant.
What was the call delay?
Oh, go ahead.
What was the call delay about? Was there delay?
The initial call went to the fire department.
And 15 minutes later before you got called?
Yeah. The estimation I got is about $90,000.
Can anybody pay for it? Or?
There was no eyewitnesses.
Figures.
Anybody have any further questions for Tony? All right. Well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Move on to the report of directors and outside committees. Why don't we go backwards here? Director White, you have the biggest news, I think, this week.
Yes, the Five Cities Fire Authority has hired Steve Lieberman from Grover Beach as our new fire chief. He starts work on December 8th. He started his fire career as a volunteer with the Grover Beach Fire Department. He was involved in the foundation, in the founding of the Five Cities Fire Authority as a mayor and city councilman in Grover Beach. He has a very comprehensive background in a variety of different things, including communications, emergency. He works right now. He's administering some of the emergency operations for disaster for San Luis Obispo County. And we looked at other people, and he has a very, very solid administrative background. And a fire chief's duty is administrative. We have battalion chiefs and captains and firefighters who put out fires. There has to be an administrator at the top that has those skills. Successful fire chief. He's being paid. It's mid-range. It's 125,000, but I'm not positive. It's somewhere in that range. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your work there.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
If I might just add, twice so far in my career, I've had a chance to do FEMA training at the National Fire Academy Training Headquarters in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And on the most recent occasion, Mr. Lieberman was there as well. And so I was able to participate in great detail with some of his experience in emergency training. His specific role in that scenario was tracking plumes of gases that could go through communities and how to then, what response was necessary for evacuations and those types of things. But the bottom line is it was great working with Mr. Lieberman, and I look forward to working with him in the near future.
Great.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of experience in working unified command situations, and he's also got a strong background in communication. And I'm going to ask him personally if one of the first things he can do was deal with dispatch. Mm-hmm. We had another incident last Thursday, about 2 o'clock, a lady blacked out at Halcyon and Highway 1. She took out the pole at the corner. The electric lines were draped over the car. There were smoldering fires. I could see all this from my house. The first emergency vehicle to show up was the ambulance, followed Pismo Beach, and then finally Oceano. Now, it is in CAL FIRE's territory, but Oceano is the closest fire truck by a whole bunch. And they had hotlines and fires and a lady trapped in her car. And then they had to close Halcyon Road from the Pike to Highway 1 for about, well, from 2 o'clock till about 7. And during that time, two of my neighbors came through that roadblock and were told by, they said it was a CHP officer, it could have been a sheriff's deputy. They said they were going home to Halcyon, and they were told there's no such town as Halcyon. I've never heard of Halcyon. You can't go through here. Their house was a block away on Temple Street. They gave me the address. So I am getting more and more concerned. And a fire person said to me, we're not going to get this communication system straightened around until there's a tragedy. And I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to continue to complain and call people. I did call the CHP and ask them to make sure that their people knew where Halcyon was. On a personal basis, if they don't know where Halcyon is, and you call, who's going to come? You know, and Halcyon Road, yeah, there's confusion because Halcyon Road, one side is CAL FIRE, the other side is Oceana or Five Cities Fire Authority. But you're still supposed, through mutual aid, to send the closest fire truck.
...of water, groundwater. A lot of confusion as to who's going to be able to do it, wants to do it, or how it became about. There was not a lot of people there this time. I was kind of surprised, but it was kind of interesting because you could see different players coming out. I think Paso Robles, of course, is the most concerned because they have probably one of the biggest issues for water. But overall, there was really not much of a decision made. It was just basic discussion. And then when I looked at the clock, I thought I was late for something else. So I left and then found out the clock hadn't been set properly. So I left. I got to listen to part of the Cuyama water basin information and touch on that, but I didn't stay for the whole thing. I stayed through about half of it. They had a presentation there about the different areas that they're having problems in within their community sphere. And they're like everybody. We're all suffering from drought. And that was pretty much it for that meeting.
Jennifer?
I did not have any meetings, but tomorrow and Friday the Regional Water Quality Control Board is meeting, and so I'll be going to that. And Tuesday, I believe, although I haven't seen an agenda for it yet, that Zone 1-1A is supposed to meet next Tuesday, the 18th, at 3 o'clock at the Sheriff's Station.
The 18th?
Mm-hmm. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District on the 5th. That was Wednesday. A few items. One is we brought on a consultant to review the human resources guides and to update the policies, procedures, manuals to look for any issues that administrative level was denied. And so the board did vote to take it to the superior court level. Part of that may include a counterclaim against the state, the likes of which, the costs of which, I'm not at liberty to discuss at this point because they are closed session. At the time that it is filed, that will become a public document because it'll be filed with the courts. So the next meeting is next Wednesday. So hopefully we'll see you all there. Move on to item number 9, which is the consent agenda. There's two items, review and approval of minutes for the October 22nd, 2014 regular meeting, and review and approval of cash disbursements. Any questions or is there a motion? Jennifer keeps...
Yeah.
Public comment? I apologize. Is there any public comment, Ms. Tacker? Okay, thank you. Apologize for that. Thank you, Jeff.
I was just going to move to approve.
All right, we have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those carry by a vote of 4-0. We'll move on to the business items. There are two items. One is the approval of a resolution to close the district for normal operation hours for November 28th, December 26th, and January 2nd. And then the letter to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. Those are both attached to the agenda packets. Is there public comment on these items? Ms. Tacker?
Here we go again. I have to go first. First, I'll say thank you for answering some of my earlier questions. And I did not know about Mr. Lieberman's volunteer fire service. That's great. Interesting. And I'll look forward to meeting him. And I'm sure you'll probably bring him in and he can visit with all of you. That we're partners in the NCMA saying about this. And are we all on board and together with that? I'm hopeful when Paavo gives his presentation that we'll hear more about that. The difference I see, Lori mentioned a lot of talk in Paso Robles and exportation, is their basin is not adjudicated where yours is, and maybe Paavo can explain what the difference is and how that affects you versus the CSDs up in that basin. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. All right, we'll move on to item 10A, which is submittal for approval of a resolution to close the district for normal operations, including the office, on November 28th, December 26th, and January 2nd. We do have a staff report and a resolution. Does anybody have any concerns about this?
No.
No, I think it's, unless it starts a precedent, unless it's something the employees want to do every year.
Right.
Because certain years it would be real handicapped if you had to close the office on a Tuesday or Wednesday. But on a Friday, it seems good.
We can address that year by year.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, any concerns?
No, I don't think so.
Lori?
No, it looks good to me.
All right. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move.
All right,
Okay,
we have a motion and a second. Ms. White was the motion. Ms. Angelo was the second. If we can have a roll call vote, Marie.
Is the motion, just to be clear, is the motion to
approve staff recommendation? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Excuse me. To the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors, providing district comments on the county's proposed ordinance regulating the exportation of groundwater. I did note we have the ordinance attached, that I have gone through it. I did note staff's concerns. I did have numerous, mostly stylistic changes to your, we have a different writing style, Paavo, but is there anything you'd like to add to the?
Well, for staff's presentation, I have a few points that I would like to be able to make, not really much in addition, but in addition to the draft ordinance, I also talked with the NCMA technical group. I also discussed it in a meeting with CSD general managers, and I read all the comments that the county had received from a variety of different parties through October 31st. Clearly, the impetus for the consideration of this ordinance does come from the Paso Basin, and some of the strongest expressed concerns have been that water originating in the Paso Basin would be pumped and sold to areas far away. The impetus wasn't really based on a need to develop internal controls on transfer of water between basins within the county. So it's not clear where that additional movement came from, although I know that there's been plenty of discussions at the county level and some other discussions, and some discussions at the Board of Supervisors level. And as a result, I made sure to emphasize in the letter the draft ordinance, because it's not yet clear that there's a strong proponent for exactly what. And I do support that basic concept. One is in water rights. It's consistent with a water rights that's called the county of origination or the county of origin. And certainly it is well within the flood control district's responsibilities of all water within the county. But if there's no known problems within the county, and if it's not broke, why fix it on that particular point? In addition, in 2014, we saw a sweeping landmark groundwater legislation, mm-hmm. and we will see significant future changes in the management of groundwater. Some of the goals are 2020 and 2025, and we know that even though the county is ahead of many others with respect to the Paso Basin, and Asajjan's legislation, AB 2453, is specifically intended to help Paso Basin management efforts. But we also know that this type of an implementation of changes in groundwater is going to take many years. So to jump out front and to propose some internal regulatory mechanisms before working through what are the changes in groundwater management, or how were they, those changes result from the recently passed legislation, it seems to me that this additional regulatory burden internal of the county is a premature step, especially when we consider the movement in integrated regional water management, where the state's model on IRWM is about 10 years old and is intended to promote interagency collaboration. It's hard right now to see what type of a regional model might work for water. We know in transportation we've got Florida for the buses and public transportation. We've got SLOCOG on regional transportation. IWMA is the regional approach to waste management, of course, mature. In addition, existing safeguards do exist on transfer of water within the county. Adjudications, so in the Paso Basin, and there is, you know, the court proceedings and the, it's called an interlocutory stipulated judgment for Los Osos, which is an interim stipulations as they try to work on the long-term management of that basin. So some of the existing safeguards for basins are under adjudication, like Santa Maria Valley Groundwater Basin and the work going on in Los Osos. But also the county already has its resource management system, and they've adopted levels of severity 3 in some basins. And so there is existing mechanisms to address specific basin concerns. And when you couple that, if in fact the county moves forward on the exportation ordinance permit requirement, and they do so in a manner that, you know, I've kind of laid out, well, then the ordinance is going to be in place. And as specific basins are addressed through RMS, if it then through that public process is appropriate to put in additional safeguards for that specific basin, then the overall ordinance will already be in place. So I think existing safeguards do exist. And you know, that's the basis for me putting together the letter of recommendation. And, you know, part of it is there's not really going to be a direct immediate impact on Oceano. It begs the question, as we move forward, you know, how is recycled water going to be implemented? How might we do exchanges with other areas like the NMMA? And there is a pipeline, recycle water with exchanges or groundwater in exchanges for surface water. Unanticipated consequences of the additional regulatory requirement right now could be problematic from two different standpoints. One is to move into a regulatory permitting requirement based on a gray area of whether or not this is really a groundwater transfer or not. And then the second one that really concerns me is that when these water deals get complicated, would this exportation ordinance, the regulation internal to the county, open the door for third parties to litigate transactions? And that's a significant concern, because proponents of a particular transaction may say, we're not transferring any groundwater, and opponents might say, well, yes, you are, and then they bring it in as third-party litigants. So certainly the unanticipated consequences are something that we should be very concerned about. I am concerned about, you know, how are we pulling together in an integrated regional water management aspect, but the unintended consequences are something that I think also need to be, you know, reason for caution in terms of moving that additional step of regulating internal to the county. And with that, concludes my comments.
I have a quick question regarding the unintended consequences and the or versus the and statement. Is the county in the staff report or in any legislative intent or shown their legislative intent to word it the way that they've worded it rather than the way that we would suggest that they word it?
No, I think what it is it's really a result of a lot of discussions and a lot of brainstorming. And my discussions with county staff has indicated that they had gone back in a workshop, talked about a bunch of options with the Board of Supervisors, and had gotten some general discretion.
I think the suggestion makes sense.
I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I went through it a few times to make sure I understood it, and I do. And I thought changing the wording in the way that's suggested in the report and in the proposed letter here, it seems to suggest, not suggest isn't the right word, but promote collaborative efforts on behalf of the different water management agencies. It seems to promote the collaboration between the different agencies.
We have the regional water management group, which all the agencies are responsible for implementing the IRWM. The county is the lead agency. And so it very much does beg, how are we going to do our regional collaboration in the future? And that's why, you know, for the county to step forward and take the regulatory approach sort of based on its sole authority,
right.
You know, I question that right now. Time's not of the essence. It may be that at the end of the day, that's the exact model that needs to be developed.
Looking at the 22 groundwater basins that are identified in the county's report, and, you know, if water was getting transferred between two different entities, and somebody might have an argument that it was getting moved.
Well, certainly, but I think the point is that even if water is getting moved right now, that's not something that's illegal. But it begs the question today that some of the homes that are in the Paso Basin or other areas that have already gone dry, where wells have gone dry, mm-hmm. Where are they getting their water from? And if there's not any known negative impact from where it's coming, then the argument is the free market system is really helping to address the drought right now. And imposing the regulatory would create an impairment for that solution that's already happening to some extent. So since there hasn't been, you know, identified problem of where the water is moving from in order to help, you know, a lot of rural residential people in the Paso Basin, but not just the Paso Basin, you know, again, will this regulation then impair those things that are already naturally happening and helping solve problems with the drought? And so, you know, why go to that step and create an obstacle when solutions are being developed by private parties?
Ms. White, do you have anything to add?
No, I recommend we send the letter and
Ms. Blackburn?
I like the letter that we would send. I think it does promote more collaboration and problem solving.
Right. I'm concerned with creating extra regulation that doesn't need to be created. Yeah. So,
I'm always concerned about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else, Pavo, or should we do a motion?
Staff recommendations.
I'll make the motion to approve staff recommendation. Reservoir Response Plan, otherwise known as the RRP. We'll take public comment. Ms. Tacker, do you have any public comment on this? Do you have something on the LLRP? We can do it that way. That's fine. That's fine. Okay, we'll move on to item number 11A. This is the approval of a resolution adopting the district's conflict of interest code. We do have a staff report on that. Pav, is there anything you want to add to this?
Well, first I want to thank our legal counsel for carrying the preponderance of the work on this particular item. Real quickly, it's in order to update the code for current legal requirements. The two of our staff members who have supervisory responsibilities, and obviously if Tony's out in the field, he will be acquiring resources, especially in emergencies. So he has, an ability to pull contractors in. And so disclosure of any potential financial conflicts would be appropriate for him as well as Ms. McGrath. So they have been added to it. One of the questions that I received was that the consultants were not on Appendix A, but they are a part of Appendix B. So consultants that are working for the district may also be required to file conflict of interest forms with some discretion in my part, which would then be based on consultation with legal counsel. Within the resolution itself, we've got a few sort of minor typographical errors that we'll correct for the final version, but they don't have any substantive effect, so I won't go through those on a item-by-item basis. And with that, if legal...
On single projects for more than a year, so this is not something that's going to be onerous, but I think I did provide a red line of changes, and I think it makes it clear that I think that the changes to the disclosure categories and the Appendix 1, which was the designated officers, we've just clarified it and made it a little better in many respects. So,
I did note in the exhibit of the resolution, when it refers to the appendix, that there's two appendixes, but it doesn't refer to which appendix it's referring to. If you look like under...
My recollection is that there's one exhibit and both of the appendixes are...
Can you say that again?
There's one exhibit and then the appendices are to that exhibit. That's how I had read it.
Right. So, President Guerrero, I didn't want to kind of make any real sweeping wholesale changes to the organization that you had in here before, which was referring to the actual conflict of interest code as Exhibit A to the resolution, and then there's Appendix 1 and Appendix 2 to Exhibit A, the resolution.
Okay.
And so rather than monkeying with the manner in which it was preserved, I left it the way it was and just updated those appendices. Unless I'm missing what you're...
Well, see, under, for example, under Section 2, designated employees, the persons holding this holding position listed ill the appendix.
Forth in the appendix. Okay, I see what you're saying. Is that to clarify that you're talking to identify the particular appendix?
Right.
Yes.
And then the same thing happens under 3C.
And
talks about the appendix.
Thank you. What I'll do is I'll go through and clarify the references.
And those were the only two places I noticed it, but. If there's no other comments, was there a motion to approve or not?
I move that we approve staff recommendation.
I have a motion from Ms. Blackburn. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Marie, if you'll take a roll call vote, please.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. I would pass by a vote of 4-0. We'll move on to item number 11B, submittal for approval of a resolution adopting the low reservoir response plan for Lopez Reservoir, including a notice of exemption pursuant to California Environmental Quality Act. Is there anything in addition to the staff report before we take public comment?
Yeah, real briefly. For this particular action, it requires adoption of six agencies. County Service Area 12, which serves the Alva Valley area, including Avila Beach CSD and Port San Luis Harbor District. Second, the City of Arroyo Grande. Third, City of Pismo Beach. Those have all adopted the LRRP. City of Grover is scheduled to adopt it next week, and then final action would then be taken by the county on behalf of the Flood Control District in December. So three out of the five local agencies have approved your board would draw on about almost 300 acre feet right now. And on top of that, the surplus and emergency declarations from the board in October give us about another 150. My goal would be to have about 100 acre feet remaining by the end of our water year, Lopez water year, which is March 31st. And then we'll get another 303 foot allocation potentially on April 1st, depending on how the winter goes. Then the intent would be to keep that water all in storage as long as possible, with using then state water and groundwater pumping for most of 2015. That way, going into 2016, my hope would be is that we would have some significant 400 or so acre feet in storage for 2016. Those details I'll present more in, you know, after January 1st to your board. But this ability to extend the time that you use the water really helps promote conservation. I've had some discussions with some of the local, with one of the particular local environmental nonprofits who expressed verbal support for it. The initial prescribed actions, even though it shows 0% reduction in our delivery entitlement once it goes into effect, we would have no more access to new surplus water. So that's really our first cutback in water from Lopez. The adaptive management strategies are intended to stretch out the Lopez supply for 3 to 4 years. And as I mentioned already, I'm working this into the goals of our resource management for, you know, at least the next 2 year period right now. And we'll present those strategies after the first of the year. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
This podium. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. All right. We'll close public comment at this time. Is there a motion?
I move that we approve staff recommendation.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Marie, if you'll take a roll call vote, please.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. That would pass by a motion and vote of 4-0. Utility items, there are none. We'll move on to item number 13. We do have one closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A. Conference with legal counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al. It is 7:17, and we will adjourn into closed session at this time.
Nope.
Pardon me?
Oh, she's asking about public comment.
Oh, did you take public comment?
No, we didn't. No, we did not. All right, we'll open up for public comment. Ms. Tacker, do you have any public comment on the?
I don't know how long you expect
to be in. No, 15 minutes.
Okay, 15 minutes is our guesstimate.
Okay, because I'd like to hear about the late.
Okay, we'll be back out, hopefully in 15 minutes. Thank you.
Putting my P's and Q's into my pile here.
All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. We've just returned from closed session. It is 7:36 p.m., and we have no reportable action at this time. Move on to...
...viewed this 15-page document, but we'll be doing so shortly. The basis on discussions have been that the community development block grant funding that has been allocated by the county to help support the development of the Highway 1 project is being rejected by HUD. And in general, the reason for being rejected by HUD is that the money going to disadvantaged communities is supposed to be allocated to help with, you know, the disadvantaged persons within the community. And so there's some restrictions in their guidelines on projects for commercial districts. And because Highway 1 and where most of the improvements are going to be constructed is a commercial district, they have come out and toured and rejected the CDBG funding for it. The county is responding, obviously, in part because the floodwaters that we experience on Highway 1 impair emergency vehicles traveling in emergencies to help. It impairs Florida and transit operations for disadvantaged persons in trying to get to work. And it's those are some of the reasons. The details then are in this letter, and again, I need to read through the letter. The county is making, in addition to this response to the HUD determination, is also doing an interactive engagement with them. And so my thought was that the December meeting is one where your board can grant funding or pursuing permits on a project that directly benefit our community. You know, sometimes the federal and state agencies, in working with, for example, the county, they're looking at the guidelines and the regulations, and if they don't hear from the community sometimes, then they tend to take maybe more of a bureaucratic approach. But when they start hearing about from communities and what kind of impacts that there really are if work doesn't get done, certainly that can have an influence on their decisions. And so I wanted to make sure to get your board, this is significant correspondence, it is a significant issue, and then we can see how the county does, both planning, this comes from the Department of Planning and Building because they're the ones who make the CDBG recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. Obviously, they're closely coordinated with the Department of Public Works, who would actually implement the project on behalf of Caltrans. So there's a number of different agencies involved. And in the next three or so weeks, we can see, you know, what kind of headway they may or may not make with HUD, and then consider whether or not your board wants to provide a position and any letters of recommendation at your December meeting.
Would, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would any effort to get leaders of the community involved in this with writing letters, would that help at all?
I think those are some of the strategies that would be appropriate for us to discuss at the December meeting then.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything else? We'll move on to items 16, future agenda items. Anything we need to add tonight?
I just wanted to, in addition to the handle on our numbers right now, and so we'll have a pretty good in-depth budget review at your December meeting. I also think it would be appropriate at that point in time to start setting some of our 2015 goals, because as when we discussed goals a couple months ago in meetings, the emphasis that I had placed with your board was that I really needed to work through the end of the calendar year and get my arms around some of the details of the district operation so we could have good goal setting for 2015. And I think we're right on track for that, and that can be a good discussion in December then as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If there's nothing further, it is 7:42. I move to adjourn. Thank you.
So
everybody.
Move.
Everybody have a good night.
And there's no meeting until December.
That's right. Next meeting would be December 10th.